Welcome to episode 109 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On today's episode of the Fredcast, just a quick recap of today's interbike tour of Lake Mead, and then three interviews from Salsa Bicycles, Gore Ride-On Cables, and Feather Brakes. Following that, just a quick summary of what's to come over the next week here at Interbike 2008 from Las Vegas, Nevada. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Today's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Thanks so much for clicking those donation buttons at www.thefredcast.com and for clicking the links to all of the stores you already use. Click the links, get the same great products at the same great prices, and meanwhile, support your favorite podcast, The Fredcast. Thank you so much for all of your support. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fredcast. It is Tuesday, day two of Interbike 2008 and the end of the outdoor demo. Now today started with what's called the Tour of Lake Mead. Now this ride used to be called the Interbike Hangover Ride because it's Las Vegas. You make your own conclusions. It's a really interesting ride for a number of reasons. First of all, you have the option, of course, of bringing your own bike, which I did this year, or you can find one of the exhibitors at the outdoor demo, make arrangements with them to borrow one of their brand new bikes, and you get the opportunity of riding it on a 25-mile ride. It's a great opportunity. Saw a lot of people today taking advantage of that and really enjoying the fact that they get the opportunity to ride a brand new bike that perhaps nobody else has had the opportunity to ride yet. So that's real great. Now, the Tour of Lake Mead, well, if you follow my Twitter, at twitter.com/Fredcast, you will know that I called it all day. I called it a hammer fest because the thing starts out at Bootleg Canyon and then heads downhill to the Lake Mead National Recreation Area. And that downhill, it's nothing but a race. It's completely escorted by police, which means that the road in the direction in which we were traveling was completely closed, and everybody just goes as fast as they can to try to show that they're the head hammer here at Interbike. And then turns into the National Recreation Area, and then it's sort of a rolling ride to the midway point. I noted that on the downhill, well, I was doing an average of about 40 or 45 miles an hour, and on the rolling portion, going as fast as I could on the flats, and then, of course, doing what I could going up the hills. But by the time I got to that midway turnaround point, I found that I was looking at an average speed, including the uphills, of about 23 to 25 miles an hour. Not bad. Then, of course, after some socializing and meeting some old friends who I hadn't seen in quite some time, it was time to turn around, and I rode back with Carlton Reed from BikeBiz.com and QuickRelease.tv and Richard Kelly from Interbike, and we rode back to the outdoor demo site. I'll be honest with you, by that point, it was hot, and by the time we got to the end of that last climb, I was toast, no doubt about it. Then it was time once again for the outdoor demo, and what was interesting was I was looking through the Twitters from today, and someone aptly described the outdoor demo as speed dating for bicycles. And that's exactly what it is. You get the opportunity to spend just a couple of minutes with a brand new bike get a chance to really evaluate it, whether that's a mountain bike or a road bike or anything in between. And that's what everyone was doing today. And it was quite crowded at the outdoor demo today. Well, I had the opportunity, because it was so crowded, to just get a couple of interviews for you, but I think you're going to enjoy the three interviews I've got. Stick around. I'll have a couple of more details to talk about at the end of the interviews. But here's our first interview of the day. Two more to follow, and I'll catch you on the other side.
I am in the Gore booth, and everybody knows Gore for Gore-Tex and their shells and jackets and things. But what I remember from when I first got into the bike business was your cables. And I am with Lois Maben, and you're product manager for the Ride on Cables. Tell me a little bit about what you've got here and what's different about the cables today versus in the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. All right, Dave. Thanks a lot. So Ride on Cables came into the industry back in the early 1990s. We introduced them at the Fat Tire Festival in Colorado, and we had the best cable that was available at the time for our mountain bike riders. So we sold it for about 10 years in the United States, a few years longer in Europe, and after a few years, we decided it wasn't a focus of our garments industry, so we discontinued selling them. We had such an uproar from our riders. They, you know, said, we need to have the cables back. We really love them. So we started about 2.5-3 years ago looking at what we could do to improve the cables. When they were first out, they were a little difficult to install, some people said. Once you learned how to install them, they were fantastic. So we took a look at the cables. We actually changed our cable coating. Back in the days, we had an early coating on our cables to give it that really low friction feel. We've been selling Elixir guitar strings for the last 20 years, and we've learned a whole lot about new cable coating and new technology. So we applied that same technology to our ride-on cables, and what we've come up with is a very thin coating on our cables. It's just as durable as the originals, but way easy to install. You don't need to take any of the coating off when you're installing it. You just run it through our liner and put it into the pinch bolt, and you're good to go. The second thing we've done is we've actually launched a road cable as well. So for anyone who out there is riding road and doesn't want to add the extra weight of our liner and our grub seal, we have the same low friction coating on our road cables and gives you that same low friction feeling in braking and shifting that you can get on a mountain cable if you're not riding in, you know, dirt, mud, sand. And actually, it's perfect for here in the desert too. With all this dust flying around, it can really mess up your cable systems.
Okay, makes sense. So what makes your cables, what makes people want them so much? I mean, you had that uproar about the fact that you didn't have the cables. Why do people love them so much?
The most thing that we get with our cable systems is the durability of them. Our cables, we have people that put our old cables on and they've had them for 8-10 years and never changed their cable system. Once you put a sealed system on your bike, you will love it. You don't have to tweak it. You don't have to change it. We have people that are riding them now for like 2 years, riding them on cyclocross bikes and racing with them and have really not even touched them since then. We've got some of our UCI teams are riding them, working with the Cannondale Mona V racing team. They've been riding them in 24-hour races, and they said they don't even have to stop and change cables on a 24-hour race. That's pretty amazing when you're in a mud bath. So,
tell me about friction, because, of course, that's one of the reasons that you've got the coating. How does the coating and how do your cables give people better shifting, better braking? How does that work?
So the cable coating, what we do is we put our low-friction coating on it. It's basically PTFE, which is the actual chemical name for Teflon. So there are other Teflon coatings out there, which is a very thin layer of a Teflon dispersion that's baked onto the cables. It wears away very quickly. Our coating is an actual membrane that we know how to apply to the cables, and we know how to bond it very well. So that low-friction coating combined with the durability of them basically gives you such smooth, precise shifting and braking. When you look at a cable system, everywhere that cable touches your housing, you're adding drag or friction to your shifting and your braking. And you feel that when you try to shift a cable. And you notice that, you know, you don't get a smooth, crisp shift. With our cables, that low-friction coating on there is so durable and such a slick, smooth surface against the inner side of that cable housing that you just, you whatever you actuate at the lever, you get that same response out at the gear or the brake. So that's what people notice. People today have been taking it for a ride, and they come back and just say, wow, never realized how smooth that could be.
And does it work with every drivetrain that's out there, the Shimano, the Campy, the SRAM?
Absolutely. What we've done is all of our cables come with two ends on them. So they're either compatible for SRAM, Shimano, or for a Campy system. And then our brake cables come with a road or a mountain end. And we also, Campy also has a different end for their road brake systems. So we actually have a road brake cable that's made just for the Campagnolo system. And also, all the SRAM Red cables, SRAM Red systems that we're purchasing, or that you're selling today, that SRAM is selling, come equipped with Gore Ride-On cables. So SRAM has realized that it's a great product, and it really adds to, you know, the value of the systems that they're selling.
So speaking of value and durability, what's the price difference between one of your cables and maybe a standard one from a SRAM, from a Shimano or a Campagnolo?
Okay. So the MSRP on our sealed system is $65, and on our low-friction system is $50. So it depends on where you buy them, but I've seen prices anywhere for, you know, some of the Shimano cables in that $30 to $40 range. If you look at some of the higher-end brands, there's things out there like Nokon, Delta. Some of those guys are up in the, you know, $65, $85, even over $100 for cables. So you look at the value, what you get with your $65 for a Gore Ride-On system. It's really something that you can sell to the industry, because people say, you know what, I can put this on once and I can forget it. I don't have to go back in 6 months or a year and pay another $40 to have a new cable installed.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Where can people find more information?
So more information on our website. It's www.rideoncables.com. We have information on the cables there. We have testimonials from both our pro riders and some other folks that are riding it, as well as links to the website where you can buy it, what dealers are in your area that carry cables.
Great. Thanks so much, and good luck at the show.
Okay, thanks. We're looking forward to it. It's been great the last 2 days here at Outdoor Demo.
Well, I'm walking around the Outdoor Demo, and I come upon this bike in the Salsa booth. And, well, I'm going to let the product manager, Jason Boucher, describe it to you. Jason, this is the Salsa Fargo. Tell me what we're looking at here. Describe the bike for me.
All right. The Fargo is a drop bar, off-road capable, 29-inch adventure touring bike, and it's one of those bikes that you can do just about anything with. You can camp on it, you can ride it off-road, you can do a long extended road tour, gravel epics, you name it. It's got 6 water bottle mounts, pump mounts, front and rear rack mounts, proprietary dropouts, post mount disc brakes. It's a very, very intentional adventure bike.
So again, 29 inches drop bars, road bars. It's got a rigid fork. Yep. It's a hard tail. Disc brakes. Where do you see people using this bike?
Well, I think this bike is going to be ridden and built in many different ways. It's probably the most versatile bike we've ever built, but I think you're going to see this bike on gravel epics throughout the Midwest and the country, 100, 200, 300 mile gravel rides. The lead designer is going to do the Great Divide on it. I've got a 12-day off-road tour planned for it, ultra lightweight, high miles, and you're going to see this thing used for just about everything.
Is it your thought that this would be somebody's only bike?
I don't like the only bike conversation, but if I had to pick one, this would be it.
Now, of course, Salsa's known for having been around since the beginning of mountain bikes. How does this compare to some of the, you know, say the bikes of the late 80s, early 90s?
Well, I think if you look at some of the geometry numbers, longer chain stays, the versatility, it's rigid, it's steel, finishes, you know, very durable, just like the old bikes. It's really just, you know, it's a classic old world, you know, mountain bike. It's just we now have 29-inch wheels and disc brakes, and it's a little more modernized.
Now, of course, my reaction when I walked up was a bit of surprise. Has that been the reaction here at the show?
Yeah, I mean, some folks are like, what is it? Some folks really get it, and people come back, they're either like scratching their head or they're just got this, you know, grin ear to ear riding the bike, because they're up on the trails, they've gone down the city, they've ridden it lots of different ways out here already.
Tell me about the components that are on the bike as far as the drivetrain.
Well, we spec the bike for really long-lasting, durable, reliable, and so it's got a complete Shimano XT group, 36-hole wheels, it's Avid mechanical disc brakes, it's got Barcon shifters, it's all very reliable stuff built for the long haul.
Really capable, really high-end. What's the price point on the bike?
Complete bike, $2,000 MSRP. We also do frame sets because we know folks are going to build this bike, flat bars, goofy bars, you name it. And so $650 MSRP on the frame set.
Briefly, what else is new from Salsa this year?
New 29-inch single speed, 2 new road bikes, some updates, and then we've got 2 new suspension bikes. So it's been a big year for us.
Jason, thanks so much. Good luck at the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm with Bob Barnett. He's from Feather Brakes, and he's showing me some new road brake sets that are really nice. Now, Bob, what you don't know, what we didn't talk about, is the fact that I was just recently over riding in the French Alps.
Okay.
And while I run high-end Campagnolo on my road bike, the grade on those roads when you descend is far steeper than anything we've got here in the States. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel that I had that much confidence in my brakes. Tell me how your brakes are going to give me more confidence when I go back next year.
Well, I have three different compounds. One is a 30 durometer, which will work good up to about 25 miles an hour. I have a 40 compound. It'll work good up to about 40 miles an hour. And then I have what I call the Pyrenees setup. I have some pads that are like 55 durometer, and then I have a lever that changes the ratio. There's probably no one in the States that's going to need this stuff. But I had one guy went over there and tested in the Pyrenees, and he said that our brake was maybe... He couldn't remember because it was he didn't have a bike side-by-side to compare, but he thought it was maybe 5% less power than the Dura-Ace brake. So that's what made me kick it up with the development of the harder pads and the different levers. This is something that will be released maybe next season once we have all the development done on it. But this is a brake that is on par with the Dura-Ace as the benchmark, but it weighs one-third less, 108 grams less, but with the same function. And if that's what road bikes are about. If you have less weight, there's less energy exerted carrying that thing up the hill.
So why don't you try to describe the design of the brake, because it is unique looking, and maybe tell everyone a little bit about the materials that you've put into it.
Well, it's the material is a 6066 aluminum, which is a comparable equivalent to the Alcoa 6013 alloy. It has flexibility, but has more stiffness than the 6061, but it doesn't have catastrophic failure like a 7075 if pushed to the limit. It's a single pivot design that uses a little lever, a cam lever, riding on the outside of the arch. We can get the same power as a dual pivot design with less metal doing the same job. And also, the quick release is just a matter of pinching the pads together and popping the cable out, just like on a cantilever or a V-brake. We save weight there, too. And I don't know.
Now, let's talk a little bit about price. I mean, you're talking about something that's lighter. As much or more power than some of the larger known brands that are out there. How does it compare price-wise?
Well, we're $399.95 retail, which is right in line with the other with our competitive high-end aftermarket brakes. We're a little bit higher than the production stuff, but not by much. When you consider a Dura-Ace is about $280 retail at 307 grams, and we're $400 at... 199 grams, it's just a little over a dollar a gram. If you're going to buy a set of wheels to, say half a pound, you're going to spend $1,000, $1,500. You're spending close to $5 a gram. So dollar per gram, it's a pretty good value. Even though it is $400 isn't cheap, but it's still a good value.
Now, what about levers and cables? Anything special that people need to do to put your brakes on?
No, just you might have to put a new inner cable because the length may be a little different than the brake you took off. Some brakes I put on, I can just shorten it up and it works fine. Some I have to use another cable, but I'm a tightwad myself. I'll take the rear one out and put it on the front and then just put a new one on the rear.
Now, Bob was telling me that he's got a background in IndyCar racing, in motocross, and mountain bikes. So you've certainly been around wheeled sports before. Where'd you get the idea for the brakes?
Well, just from my tendonitis, I made it so I couldn't ride motocross anymore, couldn't hang on the handlebars, and then I got a road bike for the high-energy exertion. I love sweating and grunting, you know, and I found out that the road bike doesn't have the same power as my mountain bike disc brakes, which it will never have. Until you go hydraulic, you'll never have that kind of power, but I still wanted to improve the product to get better braking in addition to making something a little bit lighter, because you can look at the stock parts out there, and they're very nicely finished, but still you could have slots or cut radiuses or, you know, corners just nip off a little here and there and save a lot more weight. So that was my motivation. I wanted some better function and less weight.
Now, what's been the reaction here at the show? I have a feeling, because every time I've come by to talk to you, you've been sort of slammed here. What's been the reaction?
It's been pretty good. We haven't been at the show for 10 years, so we didn't have any priority. So they're sticking us out in the middle of in the dirt where all the mountain bike stuff is. We're 400 feet from where the road guys are, and we're still swamped. People are still finding us and going, wow, this is pretty crazy stuff.
Now, for people who aren't here at the show, where can they get more information?
Featherbrakes.com.
Excellent, Bob. Thanks so much. Great to talk to you. Good luck at the show.
Thank you very much.
By the way, one thing we forgot to mention in the interview is the fact that those Feather brake kits come in four colors, or at least accent colors, red, black, gold, and blue. And again, you can check that out at featherbrakes.com. Well, that's it. That's what I've got for you today. It was, as I said, quite busy out there today at the Outdoor Demo, so I was lucky to get the interviews that I got because everyone's booth was absolutely slammed. But the next 3 days are the indoor portion of Interbike 2008, and that means I'm going to have a lot more content for you over the next 3 days. Plus, a couple of reminders for you. First of all, tomorrow is Wednesday, September 24th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. We will be doing The Spokesman live on television. There's a link at www.thefredcast.com to where you can watch that live. And of course, I'll also be turning it into a podcast, a video podcast as well, but hopefully you'll have the opportunity to watch that. Then on Thursday, we just found out that Thursday morning, Lance Armstrong will be doing a press conference here at Interbike. I will be covering that live. Now, the question is whether or not I cover that via Twitter or whether I do it via live blogging. I need to check out the facilities in the room and see if there is internet access there. If there is, I'd prefer to do a live blog, and that will allow you to follow along on the internet exactly with what's going on. I'll be able to give you a printed, typed up version of the goings on in real time. So stand by for that. I'll have an announcement on that later tomorrow once I've had the opportunity to check out the facilities and the internet in the room. Otherwise, I'll be following it via Twitter and then, of course, putting it on the podcast. And then following that, later that evening, we'll be doing the Interbike Mobile Social. Again, there are details on the mobile social at the website. It's the opportunity for you to come out, ride along with me, with Byron from Bike Hugger, with Tim Grawl from the Crooked Cog Network and CommuteByBike.com, and a lot of other folks that I know will be coming out for that. We'll be riding over to Mandalay Bay, where we will then be having a VIP hospitality tent for you to come out and join us as we watch the USA Crit Finals. And there are rumors that Lance may be racing in that, so it should be really exciting. So if you're in the Las Vegas area, it is your opportunity to hang out with us and talk bikes, ride bikes, have a couple of drinks, and watch some great cycling. So stick around for all of that over the next coming days. Well, that's going to do it for today. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I know it's a short one, but as I said, I have a lot of other content coming up for you over the next 3 days. Hope you'll stay with us between now and then. Enjoy this little bit of Jimmy Bratcher music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.